Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to a mini episode of Cinematic Universe, the podcast that's all about comic book movies, which you can find at cinematicmultiverse.com. I'm your host, Joe Cunningham, and I'll be bringing you a truncated version of the show to bridge the gap between our Captain America Civil War episode and a pair of upcoming bonus episodes. Stick around for the post-credit stings to find out what those bonus episodes will be. But on today's show, I'll give you my reactions to the comics that Seven James recommended on last week's podcast. Those were Kingdom Come and Captain America No Escape. But before any of that, let's take a look at some of the comic book movie news that has broken over the past week. And coming off of our last podcast, it feels like there's nowhere else we can really start than with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And the Russo brothers and their screenwriters Marcus and McFeely are going to be moving straight on from Captain America Civil War onto the two Avengers Infinity War films. And they've been discussing how that culmination of the first three phases of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is going to unfold. Now, they've implied that the movie that they plan to make, or the pair of movies that they plan to make, are going to be, as far as they're concerned, a continuation of what they've been doing on the Captain America movies. We maybe probably shouldn't expect to see too many of the main players from Civil War until then. Obviously, we have heard about a couple of cameos already, and there are some heroes that have their own solo movies, but it sounds like our heroes are still going to be split by the time that Thanos arrives in Infinity War. We also heard in the past week that the movies will be retitled, so don't expect them to simply be Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2. We'll get some snazzy sub-subtitles, and the movies will begin shooting back-to-back in November. Sticking with the MCU, Kevin Feige has said that the character Marvel is most committed to giving a solo movie to next is Black Widow. To which the internet responded, about damn time. Now, any Black Widow movie would likely have to wait at least until Phase 4 begins, and despite what Feige said, that is by no means a confirmation that a Black Widow movie is in fact happening, but it does sound like at this point Marvel are running out of reasons not to make the movie. On the small screen in the MCU, there is news that the Punisher spin-off series that we all had kind of already assumed was happening has been definitely confirmed, with Jon Bernthal returning and Steve Lightfoot, who notably worked on NBC's Hannibal, serving as showrunner. We also heard this week that Sharon Stone will have a small role in an upcoming MCU movie, but she didn't reveal which one. And one final MCU tidbit is the frankly quite thrilling news that Michael Giacchino will score Doctor Strange, so expect some fantastic music and a pun-filled tracklist from that one. We'll move on to X-Men now, and we don't want to go too deep into X-Men news because X-Men Apocalypse is released here in the UK next week, and a bunch of the recent news that has been coming out is possibly spoilerific. So the big takeaway that I think we are safe to talk about is that the sequel to Apocalypse will be set in the 1990s. So that follows on from First Class being set in the 60s, Days of Future Past in the 70s, and now Apocalypse in the 80s. How that will cope with the already dubious aging of the core characters of the X-Men franchise remains to be seen, but you know, maybe they'll find Gambit mulling around somewhere in that decade. It seems like the decade in which Gambit should be hanging out. Meanwhile, the Wolverine 3 has begun filming and has also added Elise Neal to its cast. And Simon Kinberg has confirmed that Professor X is currently planned to be in the gestating New Mutants movie, which lends further credence to the article posted by HitFix a couple of months ago. We won't replay all of that here, but it sounds like that was pretty on the nose from everything we've heard since. To DC now, and take a large portion of this with a fairly large pinch of salt, because surrounding the DCEU at the moment, there is a lot of rumour and speculation and innuendo, but the rumour and innuendo is quite interesting, so it would feel like a mistake not to cover it. One thing that we are absolutely sure is happening is that Ben Affleck is being promoted to exec producer on Justice League, and here's where the rumour comes in, because a lot of people have taken that to mean that he will eventually be taking over from Zack Snyder in the creative control position within the entire DC universe. There's then another Ben Affleck-related rumour, that is that the Ben Affleck Batman solo movie will feature all of Batman's past villains, perhaps in an Arkham Asylum kind of way, which is an idea we'd totally be on board with. That sounds great, and it fits with what DC has been doing, especially with Batman, of having him be an established character with his backstory already existing in this universe. And in fact, we're going to see a lot of those Batman villains in Suicide Squad anyway. And then the final rumour concerns the Justice League Part 1 movie, because it now sounds like Darkseid won't be the villain of that film, but would rather be Steppenwolf, who is in fact probably the character we saw in that strange deleted Batman v Superman scene that was released just a couple of days after its opening weekend. Again, could be completely false, but that sounds interesting, because I say interesting, I have no idea who Steppenwolf is. Something a little more solid from the DC Universe is the news that Seth Graham Smith will no longer be directing The Flash. The party line on this one seems to be that this is down to creative differences, but those pesky rumours again, they won't subside when it comes to DC, and there were hints that this was perhaps a byproduct of some serious shakeups in the DCEU following the creative and commercial disappointment of Batman v Superman for Warner Brothers. What does that mean? Well, the implication is that Warner Brothers would not be comfortable trusting one of their biggest superhero properties to a rookie director in the wake of Batman v Superman. Rumours accompanying that rumour implied that James Wan was on the verge of quitting Aquaman, but that now appears not to be the case. So, it's just The Flash that's searching for a new director. That movie is due to open in March 2018, so it's going to need a new director in a flash! Sorry, really sorry. After dipping his toes into the world of comic book movies with Ant-Man, before becoming an Oscar winner with The Big Short, Adam McKay will follow up that success by directing an adaptation of Mark Waid and Peter Krause's comic Irredeemable. Now, a quick Wikipedia-ing tells me that that comic told the story of a group of superheroes called the Paradigm, who respond when the Plutonian, who used to be the world's greatest superhero, becomes its greatest supervillain and murders millions around the world. The script for that one is being written by Dead Snow and Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters writer-director Tommy Vercola. And we'll end things with a bit of TV news now, because we are reaching the time of year when we find out which TV shows are being renewed, which ones are being cancelled, which pilots are being ordered to series. Now, as for the current crop of superhero shows, we already know that a lot of them are definitely returning, but it seems like Supergirl is in trouble. There are rumours that the show could be forced to move production to Vancouver to cut costs, and that it could potentially relocate from CBS to the CW as well. A few months ago, it sounded like a renewal for Supergirl was all but a done deal, but CBS now seem to be looking to find a way to make the show work financially so they can keep it around. At ABC, meanwhile, some reports have cast doubt over whether the S.H.I.E.L.D. spin-off Marvel's Most Wanted will get its pilot picked up for a full season, meaning we could still see anything between 1 and 4 Marvel series on the ABC channels next season. Between that, S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, and the confirmed Cloak and Dagger series on ABC Family. I'm expecting all of them to still be picked up, apart from Agent Carter, sadly. But we'll wait and see. We could still be surprised. Okay, let's move on now to discussing this week's comic book recommendations. And we will start off with James's recommendation, which was Captain America, No Escape. This is a 5-issue arc. It ran between issues 606 and 610 of Captain America and is by Ed Brubaker and Butch Geis, I believe. And so this is a story where the Winter Soldier is in the Captain America role. Captain America, Steve Rogers' Captain America, is still around. The Falcon is kind of his sidekick. The Winter Soldier, who is now Cap, is dating Black Widow in the comic. And he comes up against Baron Zemo. And I would say that the Baron Zemo is the main reason to read this arc of the comic. It was the image of Baron Zemo from the cover of the first issue of this was one that was familiar to me. It seems like the Zemo image that had been picked by a lot of people to illustrate that character online when writing news stories about Captain America's Civil War. So I don't know whether this is a particularly iconic story from Captain America, but it did seem to me like a very good Zemo story, if not a particularly great Bucky story. I found it hard to care about Bucky. He seemed to not be making rational decisions. Everyone around him would tell him to make a different decision, and he'd go, I know I'm making the wrong decision, but I've made it anyway, and keep doing it. I couldn't really, without any of the context around how that character got to being Captain America in the comics, I couldn't really invest in him. And it felt like there was a better Captain America just standing there next to him, you know, who could be Captain America but wasn't being, because Bucky was. And it also, strangely, it felt like a real throwback kind of comic to me. The artwork and some of the dialogue felt, it didn't feel very modern. I don't know whether that's just me reading it like that, but it felt like a bit of a throwback of a story. Maybe that's what happens when you're dealing with most of the main characters are, well, you've got Captain America, you've got Steve Rogers and Bucky coming from World War II, and a villain who is the son of a World War II villain who seems to be very much operating in the mould of his father. What makes this probably a good recommendation coming off of Civil War from the Zemo perspective is that basically Zemo does a lot of stuff behind the scenes to kind of undermine Bucky and push and pull at his emotions and misdirect and basically try and tear him apart without revealing himself until quite late on in the story. He's basically trying to undermine Captain America as a hero, as an icon, and he's doing it for personal reasons connected to his family. Now, they're very different from the reasons in the movie, and his means of doing so are very different from in the movie, but it seemed like this might have been some of the inspiration that the film took for how Zemo deployed his plan in Captain America Civil War. So I very much enjoyed that side of the story. I thought it was interesting seeing this status quo for Captain America. I would still be very much interested in going back and reading some of the Winter Soldier stuff and some of the...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The early stuff of how we got to this point in the comics. But I'm still yet to be sold on Bucky Barnes as a character or on Captain America generally in comics. I've read some of the more recent stuff of Sam Wilson as Captain America in the comics and thought it was okay. When Steve Rogers has shown up in that, I've not hugely liked him. I've not found him hugely compelling when reading other comics. So, yeah, I feel like I'm still waiting to be really sold on Cap as a concept on the page. Whereas, you know, I've been sold on that concept on the screen for a long, long time now. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll get there. But I couldn't really latch onto the heroes in this story. I found the villains a lot more compelling. And if not, the only thing that I didn't find compelling about Baron Zemo was how he ended his fight with Bucky. It feels like Baron Zemo could very easily have killed Bucky a number of times over the course of this story. And despite that being what he wanted to do, not doing it. Strange. But yeah, I would recommend this comic for anyone who's interested in Baron Zemo a little bit more. And yeah, I'd be intrigued to see him popping up as a villain more in comics. Currently, not that intriguing reading much more Bucky Barnes, but I hear the Winter Soldier arc is fantastic, so maybe once we get to Captain America the Winter Soldier on this podcast, I will get recommended that comic. Although that could still be a while yet, considering how many films we still need to work our way through in the MCU. Okay, we'll move on to Kingdom Come Now, which is from Mark Waid and Alex Ross. And from everything I can tell from Googling about this comic, this is a hugely important and influential comic. Came out in 1996, and Seb encouraged me to buy this, buy a physical copy of this rather than purchasing it digitally. And I think that was a very good call from Seb, because this is just beyond anything in terms of the actual story or the content, is just a beautiful, beautiful comic. Alex Ross's art is stunning. The way he draws faces, this kind of photorealistic manner, is incredible. Every panel seems incredibly, incredibly dense. There's so much detail in the background, and it seems like there are little Easter eggs thrown in everywhere. I mean, I saw Rorschach from Watchmen in the back of one image. There's loads and loads of panels here with huge amounts of superheroes in them. And if you kind of squint and look into the background, it appears like there are Marvel characters in some points. There's one I just opened on a random page in the comic here, and there are characters from the Rocky Horror Picture Show stood to the side of one panel. And I mean, you could just spend hours looking through this comic at the artwork alone without reading a word. And it'd probably take you a long time to get from front to back, just because there is so much in there. And it seemed like Alex Ross had redesigned quite a lot of the superheroes' costumes for this. And so there is, there's some really interesting takes on characters. And combine that with the way he draws faces, panels can just look so iconic and expressive and get across so much just because of that. And I would say for me, that was what I enjoyed the most about this comic, was that. Yeah, I mean, I loved the way he drew, for example, Captain Marvel, the Billy Batson Captain Marvel in this, when he is around. he plays quite a pivotal role in the comic, and he doesn't say an awful lot. Characters talk about what's going on with him kind of psychologically, and without saying, I'm not even sure whether he says more than one word, and that one word being Shazam, but that you really get from his face that kind of psychological turmoil that he's going through, this kind of schizophrenia that he has, in a way. I mean, this is a comic where Batman and Superman form separate teams. It's kind of like... It kind of is like a Civil War kind of setup. I mean, Seb's right. He could have recommended this after either Batman v Superman or Civil War, because they do both form teams in this. But it's just, and they're all older versions of the characters as well. Some don't look older, like Wonder Woman, because she doesn't age. Batman and Superman both have aged in this. This, to me, felt like something that the DC Universe could work towards in kind of 10 years' time, or could... It feels kind of a little bit more tonally in keeping with what the movies are doing. It's very dark and... Well, it's set in a kind of dystopian future to begin with. It feels like something that Zack Snyder would read and take all the wrong lessons from. But... There is a lot in there, and from reading interviews afterwards with Alex Ross and reading stuff that Mark Waid had said since, it seems like a lot of what's going on plot-wise in the comic is a response to what was happening in comic books in the 90s, in both the way that characters have been designed. Is it Magog, who is kind of the character who... forces Superman into hiding 10 years previous to the start of this comic, and then draws him back out when he is responsible for a really devastating event, and is kind of like the personification of everything that is wrong with this new brand of metahumans that have multiplied and replaced the old kind of Batman, Superman, Green Lantern, Flash, Wonder Woman, Justice League of America kind of characters in the years since. And he seems to be a riff on Cable from the X-Men in his design. There seems to be lots of critique of the explosion of superheroes in the 90s, and the I've read about like how the kind of the removal of human stakes from comics that Alex Ross was kind of critiquing. X-Men comics, where it seemed like there was just all of these superpowered characters and all they did was fight, and that it was all to do with them, and you didn't really feel like they were a part of the human world anymore. And I have to admit, a lot of that, I can't get that from reading this comic, not the first time anyway, because I wasn't reading comics in the early 1990s, and I don't have an opinion on whether that I just said is true, or whether Cable is a ridiculously designed character, although he does look kind of ridiculously designed. But yeah, so this comic feels from, well, and seems like from everything I'm reading, like it is a response to where the industry was in the early 1990s. And because I don't have that context, I can't really get that stuff out of it. I can read about it afterwards and go, oh, that's interesting. But I wonder whether this will be a comic that would be a lot more rewarding to me from a story point of view, maybe picking this up 5 years in the future when I've been recommended a lot more comics by Seb and James, where I've got a bit better of an idea about what comics were like at this time, or a lot better understanding of the DC universe and certain characters and what they represent, and for a lot of these people, just straight who they are, because there are so many characters in this, and Batman and Superman are the mostly central ones. But a lot of them just, a lot of the people who say nothing and kind of just take part in the fights, would have to read and annotate it, which frankly, there is actually an annotated thing at the back of the comic showing some of the main images and saying who all of them are. Yeah, I feel like maybe that's how I would get more out of this comic, is by revisiting it in the future when I've got more of a grasp on those kind of things. But for now, I just enjoyed looking at it and looking at the artwork. I really liked there is a subplot with a team of former supervillains led by Lex Luthor who are kind of trying to destroy the superheroes so that humanity can take control of the world back from the metahumans. And Superman has reformed the Justice League to take down all of those old metahumans, whereas Batman doesn't agree with him, and Batman seems to ally himself with Lex Luthor's group. It's a really interesting clash. I found myself more than in so Captain America: Civil War, for instance, I'm watching that and going, I'm kind of on both of their sides. Here, I kind of felt I was kind of on neither of their sides, but also it was such a, you know, it was such a dystopian world that this story was being told in that you couldn't really judge any of them because it was a true kind of rock and hard place situation. So I enjoyed a lot about this comic, mostly the art, but I'm kind of looking forward to revisiting it. Maybe a year or two in the future, that would be great. But yeah, I can tell just from reading it, I can understand why it would be such an influential comic. It feels like something that is still relevant to the superhero stories being told right now, in particularly in that it could have been a perfect recommendation after Batman v Superman or Civil War, because it has nice stuff reflecting both of those movies in there. So that was Kingdom Come, but that is it for this week's podcast. Now, don't forget that the next couple of episodes of Cinematic Universe will be bonus episodes, and we will be having some stings at the end of the show. I think for the first time ever, two stings. So let's say they're a mid-credit sting and a post-credit sting. I don't know how it's going to work. We'll see how it comes out in the edit. But there are two stings at the end of this episode, and that's how you'll find out what we're talking about on next week's shows. If you're enjoying the podcast, then please do subscribe, leave us a rating or review, or head over to patreon.com/cinematicuniverse and support us there. You can find more episodes of Cinematic Universe on cinematicmultiverse.com. You can get in touch via Facebook, on Twitter, @CU_podcast, or send us an email to cinematicuniversepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. I think we all have something in common. We're worried about Whitney. One batch, two batch, penny and dime. Cinematic Universe will return next week with Agent Carter Season 2 and Daredevil Season 2 bonus episodes.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.